Thanks for having me. I appreciate you. I appreciate the asking.
I have that same shirt. Is that a Wasp shirt?
Yes.
I have that same shirt.
So I saw that tour. That was my first time seeing Wasp, and I was kind of disappointed with the singing to background tapes. So he just played Cleveland last week, and I didn't go, and my friends went, and he's actually really singing, and I was kind of bummed I didn't go.
We went last year. I believe Armored Saint was with them. Is that right?
Yes, that's who I saw him with. Yeah.
And he's still got it.
It was
He's got
it
a
was
pretty.
good. I just he was he admitted that he was singing with enhanced vocals, and I'm not a big fan of that. So that was yeah, but I guess this tour he's doing the first album, which is my favorite,
Right.
and he's I saw the video clips. He's actually singing. I was bummed I didn't go.
I think a lot of these guys, it's just my opinion, they're still trying to hold on to 30 years ago, and some of them just
Yeah.
really can't sing like they used to, you
I
know?
know, but I would rather hear Bad Can't Sing
Yes. I agree.
than stuff that sounds like the record live.
Right.
Live. That's just
We
me. And
saw we went to the stadium tour 2 years ago and seen Motley Crue, and Vince Neil, he's still out there. He's still doing it. I give him credit, but he can't hit it like he used to.
my one of my former bandmates is his drummer in his solo band,
Okay.
and I got to see them when they played Columbus. So I got to see them behind stage, and all I heard was the monitors. I heard Jeff Blando's monitor because he was closest to where we were sitting.
Right.
Vince sounded fine. I mean, it was but my friends out front were like, "Oh, it's horrible," and I was like, me and my girlfriend were like, what were they hearing that we weren't hearing? Because it sounded fine to us. So, I
Well,
mean, it.
I think at the concert that everybody else was 10 times louder than Vince Neil was,
Yeah.
big stadium tour, because
Yeah.
Tommy Lee's drums were crazy loud,
Yeah.
Mick Mars was crazy loud. And if you're trying to sing over all that, I mean, I'm not a singer in a band, better than I do. It's hard
Yeah.
to
It's
get
hard.
around that.
Yeah, and it's hard if you get older, if you don't take care of yourself. It's a muscle. You gotta that's like Robin Zander still sounds great, because he sings all the time.
Right.
He's constantly singing. And Bruce Dickinson, I just saw him a couple weeks ago. It sounds great. I was right up front. Sounds good. Is it the same? No, but I mean it's we're as you get older, you're not gonna sing as high. It's just
Sure.
a natural thing.
I'm
Except for me, I
fascinated.
actually sing higher.
You sing
Yeah,
higher now. There you
I
go.
see, because I sang kind of in a lower, like kind of like Paul Stanley from the 70s into the 80s. In the 80s, I kind of sang in a lower register. And then
Sure.
as I got better as a singer, I figured out, I took singing lessons for about a week, and then I figured out what I needed to do for me. And so yeah, it worked for me.
Well, I'm fascinated with the whole Sunset Strip era. I'm fascinated with it. I started listening to this music in '85. The first tape was a cassette tape back then, was Cinderella's Night Songs, and
Oh, yeah.
I never looked back. Now that I'm
Yeah.
doing this podcast and trying to get people to talk to me, I realize now that the East Coast had just as big of a thing going on as the West Coast. I've talked to some guys from Heaven's Edge. I've talked to a
Yeah.
couple guys from Trickster,
Right.
and you guys had it going on too. You just couldn't walk out of one bar and walk two steps and walk in another bar. You had a little bit of distance you had to go.
Oh yeah. Well, we had to play, we were based out of, we started in Kentucky, and then but West Virginia and Ohio is, 25 miles within each other.
Right.
So when we started playing, we started playing out mostly in West Virginia because that's who was booking us. And that
Right.
was the college town of Marshall. And then We would play Kentucky a little bit, but when we played Kentucky, we played teen clubs. So it was for teenagers. There was no drinking and stuff. We played, but that was also a good crowd. That got a younger crowd into us. And then we would go to Ohio and play, the working man's bar. Ironton, Ohio is kind of a working man's town. And we'd play the working man's bar, 4 nights a week. And that's how we got our chops. And we did that until we moved to Columbus. So, yeah.
Well, you guys have a the band is great. You can't find a whole lot of information
Yeah,
about you
we
guys.
weren't signed. We were all independent, DIY, as they call it nowadays. We tried getting signed. I got a stack of letters from labels who turned us down.
Sure.
But we didn't move out to LA, and the reason being is because I was in college,
Right.
and when I got into college, I signed a bunch of papers to get grants. And so what had happened was is I had to graduate for one, and I had to maintain a C average. So what happened is as I started the band about the time I went back to college. I had went for 2 years before that, and then I dropped out and was in a traveling cover band, one in Washington State and one in Florida. And then I came back to Kentucky, and my parents were like, you got to graduate, then you can do whatever you want. So we played, and then while I signed that stuff, I had the paperwork got messed up, so I got back paid. They didn't pay me when I was supposed to go to college, so my parents paid for it, and then I was going to get back paid this check. And my parents were like, "Well, we already paid a co for college. You can do what you want with it." So that's when I took the band in the studio for the first time, and that's when we cut "Lady of the Night" and "Don't Break My Heart" single. But I still had to graduate, and then after we cut that, the guitar player for that band we had, he moved to LA. And my best friend moved to LA, and they were all out there doing the thing, and nothing really. Our guitar player eventually in the 90s got in a band called Chalk Farm, but my friends and stuff out there and people that we knew, and we knew friends' bands that were moving out there. I just couldn't go. So we decided to come to Columbus because Columbus at the time had the Al Rosa and Vila, and that's, unfortunately, yesterday was the 20-year anniversary of Dimebag getting shot there, but it was like a big rock club. And so we knew, we moved to Columbus. I graduated college and we moved to Columbus after I graduated because our drummer was going to go to a college here in town. He never did it. I think he went maybe a semester, but we just moved here and then we kind of liked it. And this was the early 90s, and that kind of music. We moved in late 90. And then we broke up by the summer of 92, but we were recording our next album. Literally, we finished mixing it, and then the guys in the band said they were quitting. So I was like, okay, that sucks. But looking in hindsight, that music was kind of it was, it was that's when grunge was coming in. This was 92. We broke up in July of 92, and things have been changing. So I think if I released it then, probably would have sank and nobody would have even liked it. But what happened was is Retrospect Records released it in 2006, and it's done pretty, it's done okay. So we've had more interest since we broke up than we did when we broke up. But we did reunite. We reunited in 2007. We played Rocklahoma on a side stage, and but our guitar player passed away in 2010. And now, I'm sorry, I'm jumping right into all this stuff,
No,
but now we
go.
only do like reunions with guys who've been in the band, and we have one fill-in guy with us. The guitar player I was talking about that moved to LA, he's now in Nashville, and it's called Hooligans Homecoming, and these metal guys from Huntington, West Virginia, we get together once a year, Labor Day Saturday, and we play cover tunes, and occasionally Oni has gotten together. I think it's been the last time was 2 or 3 years ago, and we did like a set. So we've reunited for that like two or three times. Three times, I think.
You guys have a, I'm not saying a typical, but you guys had the sound of the times. I was watching, When You're Ready for Love.
Yeah, when you're ready for that, that video was directed by me. It was actually my college project to graduate. So
But I think it's cool. You guys on stage, I always thought it was neat when bands would get on stage and choreographed. Warrant did that a lot. Heaven Did did that a lot. But it's
We
just
definitely are.
cool.
We stole those moves, the drop to your knees, from Warrant. Our bass player was a huge Warrant fan, and I even told him. I said, I think that's kind of be kind of a ripoff, and he's like, I don't care, let's do it. So now, to this day, whenever we play that song in that home Hooligans Homecoming, people expect us to drop to our knees in that spot. And it kind of, it kind of became part of the song. And yeah, and nowadays in my old age, it's a lot harder to do
It's a lot
that.
harder to do things like that. I know it's cool to see bands do that. We go to M3 every year, me and my wife, and
Yeah, I wanted to go to that.
you need to go to, have you ever been?
No, and I thought about going to that this year, because my girlfriend is a huge Bret Michaels fan.
Right.
And I was gonna go to that this year, but we ended up, like, he plays Ohio near us, like, all the time, and we were gonna make it like a vacation, but we ended up going to see him somewhere else. So
We've gone 3 out of the past 4 years, and that is the most fun to
yeah.
see because I see bands that I have listened to for over 30 years,
Yeah.
and I get to see
That
them play.
that's in
And
Baltimore, right?
it's in around there,
Around Maryland, right? Somewhere around in that area.
something around Baltimore and Maryland. But we
Yeah.
saw Heaven's Edge 1 year, and one of Heaven's Edge's videos, they did the choreographed
Yeah.
and did it on stage. I'm like, hey, there you go. That's that. I was hoping they would,
Yeah. Well,
people like it.
yeah. Well, in our days when we started, we played a lot of Kiss songs. So we would do a lot of the Kiss moves, the
Sure.
guitars and all that stuff, just because, that's the era we came from, and it was fun.
Did you tour a lot?
We
Up and
toured, we
down the
did,
East Coast, or
we played West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and we did one tour for summer. And when I say tour, we would be gone like a month.
sure.
We went to Georgia, and it was kind of a disaster. We got an agency, and they booked us, and it was a little bit of a disaster. And then so we sort of figured out that we could book ourselves and not travel quite as far and save the 15% money that we were giving him.
Right.
So that's what we did. And then, like, some of the bars, like the bars in Ironton, Ohio, that we played, the park, we basically became like the house band. So for
Nice.
like the summer of '89, that's what we did. We were pretty much the house band there. So we played 4 nights a week, every week. Four sets a night. So yeah, it's so we none of us worked, except for our guitar player did work. One of our guitar players worked, but I was in college. I didn't have a job. So we played, around our town area and got paid. So that's how we made money. And then we put it back in the band, or we'd split it up, or whatever we needed to get done. If we needed a backdrop, we'd go bake. But a lot of that stuff we made ourselves. We just did it ourselves. Recording was the most expensive, and we even got a deal on that because we went to the recording workshop, and we were like their guinea pig band. So
Oh.
you could record for free if you were the guinea pig band, but to mix it and to take it home with you had to pay for that. That's
Oh
how we
wow.
did Good Guys Wear Black.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we were the
Well,
guinea.
you released Good Guys Wear Black was released in the day, right?
Yeah, it was released November of just a couple of weeks ago. We celebrated the 35th anniversary. It was released November 1989. I see online a lot where it says it was released in 1988. It
Right.
wasn't, but we recorded some of the songs in 1988. We recorded for about a year before we released it because we wanted to have six songs. As I said, we were the guinea pig band. We wanted to have six songs to release, so it took us about a year of doing that to get it out.
Well, how much fun was it back in the day actually being a part of, I call it hair metal. A lot of people
Yeah.
don't like that. I call it
I
hair
don't it...
metal because the trouble with the 80s was there were so many layers of what the 80s movement was. You had glam, you had thrash metal, you had
Yeah.
progressive metal, you had like Warrant wasn't really a hair metal band, but everything
No, they
got
weren't.
grouped into one thing.
Well, I would say Warrant was a hair metal band, but hard rock band.
Hard
Back in the
rock
day, it was
band.
hard rock or glam rock. We wanted to sound like, our biggest influences were Kiss, Cheap Trick, Bon Jovi, early Bon Jovi. When Bon Jovi got super popular, we kind of lost the vibe of that, because it was just not really, it was too commercial. But we have poppy songs, so we were and but we wanted to look like Poison, New York Dolls. When I started the band, I said, we're going to dress up like New York Dolls and Poison, because we started in '87. Poison was in '86 that I knew of, and they influenced our sound, and then eventually we just became where we kind of had our own sound. But in the beginning, it was definitely, these are the bands, hard rock bands, glam rock. We were called posers by all the trash metal bands. In our area where we were from, there was three big bands. We were the hard rock, glam rock, party type Van Halen party type band. There was a band called Malachi that was the thrash metal, Metallica, Megadeth. They were going to throw that stuff at you. And then there was a band called The Toys, and they were like the police. They were new, Police, U2. They played all that kind of stuff. So we were like the three bands in that area that were the biggest draws. And that's kind of the 80s type music, that was that kind of stuff. The Toys did some new wave stuff and all that kind of stuff. So there was definitely that distinction. And,
Were you old enough? I know I talked to a lot of people, and they're like, I joined the band, but I wasn't even old enough to drink. Were you guys kind
I
of the
was, I
cops?
was, I had come from a cover band. Like I said, out in Florida, I was 20 the first time I played a band. But you got to remember, when I started playing, the drinking age in Ironton, Ohio was 19.
19, okay.
So I started playing my bar. The first time I played a bar, I was 19.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't until I was 20 and I went out to Oregon in that cover band I was telling you about, and I had to stay backstage. They wouldn't let me out because I wasn't 21. When
Wow.
Oni started, I was actually 22. But I was
Okay.
the oldest. But we had our drummer and our guitar player, one of our drummers, and one of the guitar players, they were still in high school. So they were 17, getting ready to turn 18. So we played a lot of bars that just didn't check.
Anyway, yeah,
We played the
exactly.
Sticks of West Virginia. They're not checking to see if we're old enough to drink. They don't care.
Right, yeah, right. They just want to pack as many people as they can into that can.
Exactly.
Not worried about you.
Yeah. So our only thing was is we had to play the teen clubs. We couldn't drink. Not that we were a party band. We liked to party. We pretty much liked to drink. There was a couple guys in the band that did, harder drugs, but not too often. But when we played the teen clubs, they would basically say, you cannot have any alcohol on the premise, or you
Yeah.
won't get paid. And we were actually okay with that. We were kind of like, okay, all right, well, we'll just, plus we played early then. We were done by 9, 10 o'clock. So we would just wait till we got done playing. But yeah,
Didn't
it
wait.
was a different scene, but it was a cool, this place was called the Neutral Zone. It was a cool club. And we learned a lot of our chops playing for that type of crowd. And then we found out when we did release Good Guys Wear Black on the radio, it was all those kids that was calling the radio stations to play that song for us.
Nice.
Yeah,
So
I mean,
the
wasn't the
teens were
working man drinking in the bars.
yeah, the teens were the ones that were boosting you up. That's good. I've here lately, there's so many, you can look on YouTube and like watch you guys, and then you'll see some other bands that'll pop up that are, weren't on MTV or weren't whatever. And I've tried to look for bands on Facebook. That's where I found you, because I've seen your video on YouTube a million times. I'm like, maybe, and I Googled to see if you had done podcasts, which you have.
Matter
That's
of
a
fact,
lot.
I was supposed to do one a couple of weeks ago, but my computer messed up. And it's funny, it's my computer's never done it before or since. But the guy was like, I think kind of miffed at me. He said we would reschedule, and I've yet to hear from
Well,
him.
that's happened to me, boy. And I'm not ashamed to say it. The first I don't know if you listen to satellite radio, Hair Nation. There's a DJ. His name's Mark Striegel. He's there on the weekends. I had him on the podcast, and I always try to get on about 10 minutes before you were to
Me
get on.
too. Me
Well,
too.
I hit pause,
I,
and I
yeah.
did the
Okay.
whole interview and didn't even record it at all. And I was like,
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a podcast one time. They actually had to call me back and they said, "Hey, we forgot to hit record. Is it okay if we do this whole thing and you just talk about what you talk about and act like you hadn't talked about it before?" Yeah, and I was cool with it. But that happened to the thing I was just telling you about 2 weeks ago. I'm always early too, usually. Today I was purposely waiting. But I was 10 minutes into this thing, and I know this guy interviews a lot of people bigger names than me and stuff like that. But I was sitting there, and then he said, you know, it's going to be at a certain time. So I work in television. So we have Zoom meetings and stuff all the
Sure.
time and Zoom interviews. So I started, it became the time that we were supposed to go. And I was like, huh, I wonder if there's some issue. So I was like, I'll just log out real quick and log back in.
Right.
And as I started to log out, I saw where he was kind of connecting, and then my computer just like it wouldn't
Wow.
come back up. It just like froze. Everything just froze. So I messaged him on my phone and I said, "Hey, everything just froze. I don't know what to do here. Give me a second." And my computer usually comes back pretty quickly, but it wasn't. It was still frozen. And so he was just like, and I said, "Just give me a couple more minutes." And he's like, "Look, we're already 10 minutes into a 40-minute interview. 10 minutes is wasted." And I was like, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Well, we could always reschedule." And I said, "Okay, all right, but I'm sure it's going to come back." And then, like, he said, "Let's just reschedule." So I said, "Okay." Literally a minute later, my computer pops back up. So I took a picture of it. I sent it to him. And I
Sure.
said, "My computer's back up, but let's reschedule whenever you want to." I haven't
Right.
heard from him since.
I don't have a time frame on podcasts. You know, I've had guys on here that, you know, I got to talk to them for 20 minutes, and I'm happy. I've
Right.
had people that when I first started doing it, Chuck, I kept looking at my clock, and I was like, dude, I've been on here for an hour and 20 minutes. You can't put an
Yeah.
hour and 20 minute podcast out. People aren't going to watch it. So
Yeah.
I try to keep an eye on the time down there. But
Sure.
it's funny. I interviewed Derek Davis from Babylon AD last week.
Yeah.
I had hit pause in the whole, I had been trying to get him to do it for 6 months, and
Oh,
I didn't
wow.
even record it at all. And I'm embarrassed to even text him back. 'Cause you know what? It's like watching a movie and then rewatching the movie when you ask somebody to come on again after you've
Right.
already, you understand what I'm saying?
I
You kind
do.
of lose the.
But you know, I also work in the recording, audio recording industry and television, and some, you know, stuff happens.
Here it
Quite a
does.
bit stuff happens. So I'm very understandable about that because I've done it. I've not actually, you know, I've paused the recording before. I've stopped the recording before it was ended. I know how it goes. So I don't Me personally, I don't have a big, you know, I don't, it's not, you know, I have plenty of time. My time's not that valuable to talk to people. You want to talk to me about music? I'm always good.
Oh yeah. Mine's not either. This is something fun that I enjoy doing. Like I said, I never imagined I would be talking to people that I've,
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
listened to them for years, and I'm surprised at how many people are like, yeah. I mean, even people I never would imagine would even do. Sure, yeah. What time? Let's do it. You know, and
Sure.
it's
Let
great
me tell you a
to.
little secret. People like talking about themselves.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, I think a lot of them, you know,
know, when I was well, I was in a band in the 90s, you know, when all that started and we started me and the guitar player and the drummer of Oni started the Vague. We didn't want people to know. We cut all our hair off and we didn't want people to know we were, you know, because that was the time period. It's like the
sure.
Marvelous Three guys and South Gang. We didn't want people to know
Yeah,
about it.
right, exactly.
But
Yeah.
as time has moved on and that era is now like, I'm proud. I've always been proud of it. I've always been proud of it. It's just, even I was kind of getting tired of that
Right.
whole thing. So when it ended, I wanted to kind of get away from it too. But now like I said, we never thought we would do reunion shows. And in 2007, when Retrospect put that, in 2005, when they put Good Guys out on CD without our knowledge, but when I found out about it and started to get some lawyers involved, they were telling me, which I in turn like a guitar player and drummer, because I was still playing in a band with them called The Vague. They were just like, people want to hear this, and they want to, they're like it, and they want to hear it. You guys should be getting it out there. That's when my whole thing kind of changed. Even like joining like the group Glam Rock City, our guitar player Scott said, "Hey, there's this group that talk about us all the time in there." Come to find out, I knew the guy Curtis from back in the day that started Glam Rock City. So I've after that point, and we went to Rocklahoma in retrospect, and I saw how, we had so much fun. We got to reunite again and play after 15 years, and we never thought we would do that. From that point on, we were kind of in two bands. We were in Oni and The Vague, and we
Right.
played shows whenever we got asked. But then our guitar player Mickey passed away in 2010, Mickey Daniels. So that kind of ended Oni, and in a sense, if 3 years later, The Vague. I left The Vague. The other guys wanted to go into more in a cover band thing, and I still wanted to play songs I wrote because I still write songs. I just released a new record in 2021. So,
Nice.
I'm always been a songwriter, and I always will. But I play even in my solo shows. I'll say, "Here's a song you probably never heard of," and play one of the Oni songs,
Well, it's in you. It's what made you. You know what I mean? I talked to Tom Mathers. He owns
Yeah, I know Tom.
Parish Records. Yeah, he's a great guy. And just somebody like him, and even retro. You said Retrospect Records, right? Tom's been doing it for years, and
Yeah, and
he if
Demon
it
Doll
wasn't,
Records.
yeah, and if it wasn't for him, a lot of these bands like Oni, their music would never be heard. He makes a sampler with 99 songs on it, and he'll release 1,000 of them, 2,000 of them,
Well, I just got my Spotify Wrapped, and I'm in charge of the Foo Fighters. The Vague was kind of like the Foo Fighters meets Marvelous 3, and we were around in the 90s up until 2015 or 13. So I'm in charge of our Spotify for that. I'm in charge of Oni Spotify, and I'm in charge of my solo Spotify. Always, by far, the most streams are always Oni, by
Sure.
far.
Well, people still love this music. I mean, it's amazing that it seems like there's kind of a
Oh
resurgence
yeah,
of it
totally.
right now. And as long as these bands are willing to go out, there's people that will come see you play. Trust me, that have, okay, I've been waiting 30 years to see these guys play. It might not be but two original members, but you're playing what people have listened to and wanted to hear for so long. And I don't want this. My IG page is all about underrated bands. I was always into
Yeah, that's right. That's how I hooked up with you.
the Leather Wolves, the Veins,
Yeah,
the
we
Hell Is
opened for
Deadly.
Leatherwolf. Yeah.
Yeah,
Leatherwolf were nice guys.
I love that. I liked Motley Crue. I liked Rat, but you know what? There were so many more bands out there that
Oh,
sounded
tons.
even better than, and
I try
I
to
don't.
tell my friend that he only liked the popular bands. He's my concert buddy. We just went and saw Iron Maiden. And he was like, so I tried to tell him, I said, "Man, there's tons of good bands that you missed." And he's like, "Who?" And I said, "Atom Bomb, Tough Luck." I started dropping names, and he was like, "Well, if they were any good, they would have been popular." And I was like, "Look, man," I said, "Live Oni was great." And I said, "But we just didn't get the breaks, you know? I mean, it just didn't happen." So I said, "There's tons of killer bands out there."
It's so many, and I think, especially not necessarily on the East Coast, but on the West Coast, that they were inundated with so many. There was 10 Poisons. There
Oh,
were
yes,
10 Warrants. There were
well,
10 Rats.
that's what my buddy told me, who moved out there, one of my earlier bands, guitar player. He's like, "There's like tons of every one of these bands," and I'm like, "Oh," and so that made it for me, being in college and stuff, I didn't want to move there. I was
Well,
like,
you, yeah,
"I
it's
don't
probably
want
true
to
that you
hate."
didn't.
I was, I was like, I don't want to be lumped in with a bunch of other bands, you know, because we were, like I said, in our hometown, we were the top hard rock, you know, it's not that I didn't want to go big fish or small fish, big pond. We opened up for Helix and we opened up for Leatherwolf and Faster Pussycat and That's Enough. And we were just as good as those guys on stage. So I was like, well, I don't think we, you know, turns out I was wrong. I was like, I don't think we need to move there to get signed. But it was, you know. But like I said, by the time we came along, we started in 87 and that whole scene kind of died out by 91, 92. We had a, you know, we got a good taste of it. But we looking back on it now, if the internet was around, we would have been so, because we were hustlers, you know, we would send our stuff off all the time. We would record and send out tapes. We had connections because we had a friend at a local radio station, the guy that introduces us on the tape. He was a DJ and he gave us like industry addresses to send to, and that's who I would send promo packs to. And so we would send stuff too, but you know, we just got rejected all the time. And so we just, you know, but you know, hell, the Beatles got rejected all the time before, you know, every band does. So we felt like it would be a waste to keep sending these people promo packs. So we just, okay, this label doesn't want us. Let's move on. And we kept thinking like an indie label with something like New Renaissance or one of those kind of labels like would pick us up. We kept thinking that somewhere along the line, like, you know, Poison did with Enigma that eventually became Capitol. We thought that some indie might pick us up, but that never happened. And that's when we were just like, let's just put it out on our own.
Well, that's what kind of what Tom Mathers said. He said, you know, if I hadn't have put out Cherry Street on my own, it would have never been a Parish Records. And
Well,
that's
that's
what
like,
started it, you know?
right. Well, that's like we started Foreplay Records. We called it Foreplay because at one point in the band, there was a mutiny, and the guys in the band wanted to change the name from Oni to something else. And I was like, they did that twice while we were together in our 5.5 years. The first time they were like, we want to change the name of the band. I was like, okay. I mean, I was pissed because I started the band. It was my band. But they were like, you know, we don't want to be called Oni anymore. And I said, okay, all right, what do you guys want to change it to? And they said, Foreplay.
Foreplay.
So, okay.
Wow.
We played one show as Foreplay, and our friends that came to see us said, you got that name sucks. Change it back to Oni. So we changed it back, and then a couple years later, different guys in the band did another mutiny and they wanted to change it. And so we were going to call ourselves Silhouette, which I didn't mind as much, but before we could even play, people were coming up to us and going, that's a stupid name. You guys are Oni. A lot of people didn't even know it was my name. I didn't even tell people, you know, we never told people. When people would ask us, we would say it's an Indian god for the devil, or an Indian god with a huge anatomy, or it means the devil in Japanese, which it does, O-N-N-I. So that's what we would say. They were like, what? And we'd say, yeah. I never would say, oh, it's my last name. We would just say, you know, it's an Indian guy with huge penis.
But you know
So.
what? Just looking through, I had. I think they're at my grandmother's house, but I had some of those trade magazines, BAM and
Oh yeah,
Rock City News,
I
and
got yeah.
dude, some of the names of the bands in Hollywood. I mean, Lickety Split. I
Yeah.
mean, there was some crazy, crazy names out there for guys. But you know what? Hey,
It kind of went with the times.
you're trying to let your name stand out, and people are talking about your name, and you hope it's going to lead to bigger things. So, you know what? I have heard some, there's some crazy, crazy, crazy bands out there that, you know,
Yeah.
do what you got to do. Let
Yeah.
me ask you a question. So, you recently went to New Orleans, right?
Yes, first time. Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it. My girlfriend, not so much. It was very hot.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I didn't see a whole lot of music. We went to see where Johnny Thunders, I'm a huge New York Dolls fan, so
Right.
we went to see Johnny Thunders pass away. And then eventually, like I visited Louis Prima's gravesite, because it was near, my girlfriend wanted to see Anne Rice's gravesite.
Okay.
I liked it. I would go back. It was very hot.
Yes.
I got swindled by a hustler, but that was my own dumb fault. But the food was amazing, and that's what I went for.
My wife is from Covington, Louisiana, and we went down there a few times to Mardi Gras, and that's always that's something else. But we would go down to Bourbon Street and walk around and go get a hurricane, go down there and get some. She loves shrimp and grits, go down there. But I didn't get swindled while I was down there, but we were with her parents, and I had to pee. So I was like, y'all gotta pull off the road. So we pulled into a Popeyes. And I just nonchalantly walk in there, and I kid you not, there were two guys at the sink putting marijuana in in bags that they were doing in there. And I just went in there and peed. And the guy looked at me and said, "Do you need anything?" I was like, "No, man, I'm good." They were just, it was just like it won't nothing, but in New Orleans, you see anything and everything. And that's where I met, I think I might have told you, that's where I met Steve Blaze from Lily and Axe.
Oh yeah, he's from there. Yeah.
Yeah,
Now Lil Nas X is another band. I love them, and they play
oh man.
Columbus all the time. And I
Yeah.
welcomed in, what year was it? It must have been 1995. They played the Al Rosa, and me and Scott, the guitar player from Oni, were there. It's funny because Ron, we would talk to those guys, but we didn't really know them, but we
Yeah.
loved their band, but we didn't want to be fanboys with them.
Sure.
So, when Ron Taylor sent me a fan or a friend request on Facebook, I was like, holy shit, that's Ron Taylor. And he doesn't like stuff a lot, but he'll like something on my Facebook page, and I just
Yeah.
think it's cool. It's usually like older, like UFO or girl related
Yeah.
type stuff. He likes that kind of stuff. But Ron was like one of my, during that whole time period, Ron was one of my favorite singers. And it still is. I mean, but I was just like, I thought his voice was amazing.
Yeah, Lillian
I
Axe
saw
has
him when he
always.
was in Stiff.
Yeah,
So
all
I
right. Oh,
saw
you
him. That
really? Yeah.
was my first show at the Al Rosa. Me and the bass player, the original bass player for Oni, we couldn't find a guitar player. So we came to Columbus trying to find a guitar player. We went to this music store and we were hanging up flyers. And the guy that worked at the music store, this clerk, said, "Hey, well, what kind of band are you guys?" And we were like, "Hey, we're glam rock, we're Poison, New York Dolls, Kiss." And the guy was like, "Have you ever been to the Al Rosa?" I had heard of the Al Rosa, but I'd never been there. When I was in this band called Saint Michael, this gal would see us all the time in Portsmouth, Ohio, and she would make me cassette tapes. One of them was Iron Maiden Live, and the other one was Sweet Savage. And she would make me cassette tapes, and she would give them to me. And she kept telling the band Saint Michael that I was in that we need to play the Al Rosa. And I thought it was like a Mexican restaurant. So I
Right.
was like, huh? And she would tell me all the bands play there. She gave me Cinderella's Night Songs. She gave it to me. She made a cassette.
Nice.
That's how I first heard that. But this gal would come and say, "You guys need to go to the Al Rosa." So on one of the tapes she gave me, on the back of it, it said, "Try to book your band at the Al Rosa." Well, that band broke up, and then I started Oni. So I had heard of the Al Rosa, but I never went there. But the first time I went there, Styx was playing, or Stiff was playing, and they were amazing. Now I have that record. I got that record on vinyl. When we moved to Columbus, we went to a record store to get them to sell the Oni cassette tapes. And the manager there was really cute and really nice, and she was kind of flirting with me. And she said, "Is there anything else we could do, I could do for you or anything?" And I said, "You don't happen to have a copy of this of Stiff's record, do you?" And she said, "We do. We have one in the back that we play in the back, while we're back there taking breaks." She goes, "But it's open." And I was like, "I don't care. Can I buy it?" And she was like, "Yeah." So that's how I got the Stiff. Oh, Sweet
Now,
Savage. Yeah, Sweet Savage was on that cassette that girl made for me. She made me work two cassettes. One was Cinderella, Iron Maiden Live, and then the other one was Night Songs and Sweet Savage. I still have one of the cassettes somewhere.
wow. Well, Stiff had what? John Stein in it too, that
John
was in
Stern,
Lily and
yeah,
that. Yeah.
he's the one that got us to record Crazy. the song that's because he put us in touch with Manny Charlton from Nazareth. He was playing in a band with him. He's playing bass in his band. And unfortunately, he's passed away now, but they were going to do a Nazareth tribute compilation that Manny Charlton was in charge of. And so we did crazy and we submitted it and they were going to use it. But then the Nazareth guy said, can't do it because they were going to do one. They had their, I think eventually it finally came out a few years ago, but they were doing one. But John was the one that got involved in that because he was also in a band called Brand New Machine. And that's how I met him. I didn't meet him through Oni. I met him through the Veg, our power pop band. He said, we should do shows together. And then he's, this is all through MySpace. And he was, I was like, are you John Stewart from Lillian X? And he was living in Michigan at the time. Yeah, he was a great guy. I mean, I never met him personally, just through the internet, but he loved our band because we were on a Jellyfish tribute, and so was Brand New Machine. And that's how he contacted us.
Yeah, Steve is one of my he is such an incredible guitarist, and like I say, we met him at the restaurant, and he was just such a nice down to earth guy. Went to Starbucks with us the next day and drank
Oh,
coffee
wow,
and
yeah.
brought some stuff he had signed and just told some stories about. I had mentioned Steve Summers from Pretty Boy Floyd. He told us some stories about him and Mark Taurine from the Bullet Boys, just being a bum and always wanting to bum a ride on a tour bus. It's just fun to hear stuff like that. But yeah, New Orleans is a that's
It's
a
a cool town.
it's a nice town. Yeah,
It was
especially down
very
around the
hot.
French Quarter. Oh yeah, it's
Yeah.
humid.
My
Air is
girlfriend got
humid.
overheated. We had to stop into an ice cream shop and she got so overheated, but the food was amazing.
Yes, that's a
I'd
great
definitely go
food.
back. I don't know if she will or not.
Did you go to Cafe Du Monde? Did you eat any
We
vignettes?
did. That's where I got swindled. It was right after that. After we ate, I went back behind the park back there. And he's it's a long story, but I was my own dumb fault. Not quite the three card Monty, but it was something quite similar. And the guy was like, you owe me 20 bucks. And I was like, huh? And he was like, you owe me 20 bucks. And he goes, there's a teller machine right around the corner. And I looked over and I looked at his three friends and I was like, you know what? I'll just go get the 20 bucks and give you
And be done with
and
it.
get away from you for the rest of the time.
Well,
Sure.
man, it's a pleasure talking to you. I mean,
Yeah.
I just like talking about,
Me
anything
too. I hope
somebody will tell me.
I go off on tangents, so I hope I
Right.
answered your stories.
Well, I tell you what, I have talked to people before, Chuck, and you've podcasted before, and you struggle to get somebody to talk. I would rather somebody just say, okay, you got the floor. Let's say anything you want to say. Tell me your stories. That's what it's all about,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, and I do appreciate it, and love Oni. Is there anything you want to plug while you're here?
I do have a new album. Well, it's came out in 2021. It's called Authorized Information. You can find it anywhere to keep on listening to the Oni stuff. I was in a power pop band like Foo Fighters, Marvelous 3 called The Veg. All that stuff's online. Keep listening to it, and I appreciate it. And thanks for reaching out to me and let me tell you a little bit of my story. I appreciate it.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it too. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas and God bless you and your family and you take care of yourself.
You too. Have a Merry Christmas and happy holidays and a happy new year. And thank you again.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Take care.
Uh-huh.